Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new We're Not Sick edition of Gaming Uncensored. Tommy sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We've got a lot to talk about Activision Blizzard. That's been in the news, and so we'll give our thoughts on that. We haven't talked about Steam Deck on the show yet, so we'll talk about that. We got to give our thoughts there, of course. We've got a handful of other things. Stray, we were just talking about before firing up the mics. We got some gameplay on that. We've got heavy stuff. We got fun stuff to talk about. So. Should be a bummer and good show all at the same time.
I'm excited because we're going to talk a lot about Game Pass, because I'm going to talk to you about my Game Pass adventures over the last couple of weeks. And we've got a new game on Game Pass, which as soon as the show's over, I'm going to run and download because you and I need to play some co-op.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. But before we get to all that, I'm glad to see that you're up and you're moving, sir.
Yeah. So, real quick, we're about a week behind when we had hoped to do a show, because somehow, myself, the sexy sidekick, and the little girl all came down with COVID. We got it, which has sucked, to say the least. We're fine. Everybody's feeling better at this point and is good. You have probably heard on the news about this idea of breakthrough cases recently about people who are fully vaxxed that are getting COVID. We are those people. The little girl, but the sexy sidekick and I. So best we can tell, the Genevieve got it somewhere. We have some guesses where. We're not going to speculate too much about that, but she got it. She's the one that got symptoms first. We didn't think it was COVID because kids don't get it as often, so we really didn't even consider it at first until Lana got sick, and then she went and got tested. Sure enough, she came back positive, and we were like, oh, crap, that sucks. And so I went and got tested a day later. I wasn't having any symptoms yet, but sure enough, I tested positive too. A couple of days after that, my symptoms came on. But for all of us, it wasn't bad. But it was, you know, Lana's was more like a flu. Mine was more like a cold, which sucks. I mean, it wasn't fun. But we didn't get real sick, which is great. And one of the things, because we were vaccinated, that's a big help. Get vaccinated. There's a ton of reasons to do it. One of the good reasons to do it is that even if you get COVID, the vaccination still helps you from getting really sick. And so we were fortunate we were vaxxed and didn't get more sick than we got. But we've had to quarantine and that kind of stuff. My quarantine is still not over until tomorrow. And so I have not been out of the house in a week and a half. The Genevieve hasn't been out of the house in nearly 2 weeks. And so we're looking forward to getting back out into society a little bit, because we're all a bit stir crazy at this point.
This is quite an interesting life that we live at this point. Lots of stuff going on. And it seems like it's still going. I was talking to somebody about the sort of internet Zoom thing that we've had going on for quite a while. I don't think that's going anywhere for a while. I think we've got a ways to go on that.
Yeah.
So It's an interesting time to be alive. I'd say interesting because I don't think we'd consider it fun.
Right. No, not ideal, but interesting. I do feel like I hopefully have like super immunity now, at least for a while, having both been vaccinated and have gotten it. Surely I won't pick it up again for a while. So that makes me feel a little better.
So.
But yeah, it was ideal. You would think that it would have given me a chance to play a ton of games, but the reality is we've just been taking care of each other and I've had to work still through it all. So I've played very, very little, actually, which is a bummer. But I have played a chunk of Stardew Valley. That's what I decided to pick up during COVID, which has been fun. So love some Stardew Valley still.
I will tell people, if you haven't had COVID and you get it, I think the key to getting through it is actually work.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting up every day and going through a process of doing something. That, I think that's how I survived it. I think that's how I did so well because I got up and did what I needed to do every day. And I think that was a huge help. And so if you haven't had it and you get it, don't stay in bed. Get up, get some stuff done because I promise it will help you.
Yeah.
It's a huge benefit.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
All of that being said, we are a show about video games, and I want to talk about some video games, and I know you want to talk about some video games, so let's go.
Yeah, for sure. So, let me, you teased a little bit about your Game Pass experience. I want to hear a little bit about your Game Pass experience.
So, I sent you a text, and I may have talked about it on the last show, that I was struggling with Halo. I know I talked about it on the last show that I had installed it. And I had made a tweak or did an update or something, and it just decided to not let me play it, right? And so I tried to do several fixes, and those did not work. And I saw on the Facebook page that our guy Ty, I believe it was on the Facebook page, was, hey, go through the Microsoft Store. And so I went through the process to download all 133 gigs of the Master Chief Collection again and got through 100 gigs of it. And then I got an error. And the Microsoft Store was like, we're sorry. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And so I rebooted my PC and tried to restart a couple times. And finally, it restarted. And the Master Chief Collection is installed. It is running. I have played some Halo. But man, Game Pass has some issues.
Yeah.
And you were talking about installing Shark Eater. I'm not Stargate. What's Man the name Eater. Of that thing? Maneater.
Yep.
I'm curious to know. I know that you got an install and played a little bit. And as soon as we finish this show, I'm going to run to the other computer and install the Ascent because you already have it installed. I saw the reviews this morning. I'm super excited. And I just hope that it will install on my computer.
Real quick, I actually don't have it installed. Yeah, I fired it up and played around with it a little bit on the cloud. I went and decided to pull the trigger on the Game Pass Ultimate so I could get the cloud access. And that was the first game I pulled up on the cloud. So it was one click in a browser and was in game. So played it without installing it.
So what are you paying for that? That's the 15. That's $14.15 a month.
Yeah, $14.99, whatever it is. Except it's $1 for the first month, so right now I'm paying $1. But starting next month, it's $15.
Let's be clear, that gets you full Xbox access, that gets you PC access, that gets you the whole nine yards.
That's apparently. Everything, yep. we don't have an Xbox, and so the console exclusive Game Pass games, of which there are a handful, don't have access to those. The one I was really looking forward to that I was hoping was on there was Flight Sim, which I'd already played Flight Simulator on Game Pass on PC, which is great, but it just came out with the Series X version that apparently is just stunning, that has ray tracing and everything, obviously. I was hoping they would have that on the cloud. They don't have that on the cloud yet, but at some point I hope they have that on the cloud with the high performance and all that kind of stuff. But I literally just did that this morning. So I played like 10 minutes of The Ascent, just playing around with it and not really focusing on the game, just playing around with the cloud streaming. But it so far works fine. I've gotten to be a little bit of a expert on cloud streaming, I feel like, because I've played so many different cloud streaming services. It feels like it's going to be a good one, but I don't know. I haven't spent enough time with it to really speak into it more. It wasn't laggy. I didn't run into any issues, so that's good.
See, the game is interesting to me because I don't think The Ascent, because of the way that it's set up as sort of a shooter, bullet hell type thing that it appears to kind of be. I don't know that I would play through it myself as much, but because the co-op is there, I really, really want to play some co-op with you.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun. And apparently, according to the review, they absolutely nailed the cyberpunk world and the whole thing, and it's a legit RPG, and so I'm probably going to die a whole lot. I'm not going to be great at it, but I'm excited to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I think it'll be fun. And so we'll get to play around with Game Pass some more with that, which is a good thing too. So, joys of Game Pass.
The other thing I wanted to mention about Game Pass, and it's been so long since we did the last show, that I don't remember if I talked about this, but I actually also have Resident Evil 7 installed
right
off of Game Pass. And I haven't, like I said, I've only played a couple hours with it, but man, it's a really good looking game and it is scary.
Yeah.
Like it's just freaky. There's no way around it. Game Pass, if you're not already paying for it, it's a great service. We have way too many games to play as it is.
Yeah.
And so you just throw that on top, and there is no way we can ever get to everything that we need to play. But it's a fantastic service. Yeah. And especially with something like The Ascent, we talked about it for years, how much that was going to change the whole access thing for this show. Like, game just came out, we can go download it, we can play it, and we can talk to you the next time that we're on the air. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
As far as this show's concerned. So I'm a fan regardless of the issues that they have, and boy, do they have some issues. Yeah. But yeah. Yes.
But it is still overall it's the best value in gaming. If you've got anything to play Game Pass on, it's hard to imagine why you wouldn't be paying for it at this point. It is, is an excellent service. So, all that said, should we talk about news?
We should. But before we do that, let's say hi to the Patreon guys. And I also want to mention the Patreon content that's up there if you're not a Patreon person.
For sure. So quickly, Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys a ton for your support. And as Jamie mentioned, there's content there. There's fun stuff over at the Patreon page. So if you haven't been by lately, it's a good time to go by and check out Patreon stuff.
And you're going to laugh at this because I have decided since you had me recording Patreon content that I found some other uses for ScreenFlow, which is a program that you and I both like that we use for recording on the Mac. And so I'm trying to learn ScreenFlow. I don't know it nearly as well as you do at this point, but I'm trying to learn ScreenFlow and some new tricks. And as you can see, from my camera, you can actually see my whole head. So I've been playing around with the camera and doing some different things, and so I think we're gonna have some better content here in the next little while. And the ascent will probably be one of those that one or both of us jump in and talk about on Patreon. It's going to be very interesting. If you haven't been over there, I have to highlight one piece that made me laugh that you did, which is the lawnmower simulator. And I'm sorry, man. I love you. I do. But really? Like, really?
I mean, there's a game that's called Lawnmower Simulator, and it had a free demo, and you think I'm not going to play it?
I mean, bro, that is one of the great benefits of my life. There's not many benefits to being crippled, but one of the great benefits of my life is not having to mow the yard ever.
Yes.
I'm not playing a lawn mowing simulator. I'm just not, because there's no virtual reality where mowing the lawn is fun.
This is,
it's just not fun.
This is fair. Yeah, go by Patreon. Get my thoughts and some of Jamie's thoughts. There's going to be some of Jamie's thoughts up there soon too on lawn mowing simulator. So
yeah,
good stuff.
Because I couldn't stop. I saw it and I couldn't stop myself.
We're getting very meta with our Patreon content, producing more Patreon content, talking about itself. So. Good times. Yeah. We just respond to each other via Patreon now. So,
yeah.
All that said, we'll get into the news, and we'll start with the kind of less fun stuff, but this has been such a big news, story in gaming for the past week or so that we should definitely talk about it. And this is both a specific instance of something happening and a systemic thing that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, honestly, that it's been just growing. And so this is the latest example and a lot of fallout from it. This is Activision Blizzard was sued in California. This lawsuit dropped now a couple weeks ago for essentially discriminatory practices and sexual harassment issues, kind of corporately, systemically. We won't get into all the details. Some of it's just terrible to talk about. Like, I just don't want to talk about it because the details are really, really awful. The term that gets thrown around a lot, at least in this story from Engadget, I've seen this in other places too, in the lawsuit and in some of the other stories about it, is a quote frat boy workplace, which in some ways I think does a disservice to some of the seriousness of some of the allegations here. But essentially, the kind of big takeaways are, if you're a woman working at Blizzard, you don't get paid as much, and it's much harder to get any kind of promotion. That is much harder to kind of climb the ranks because of this quote-unquote frat boy culture. Mm-hmm. And that apparently there's a world of sexual harassment that's just rampant. That, again, isn't unique here to Activision Blizzard. We talked about this with Ubisoft. In fact, Ubisoft is back in the show notes as well on this same kind of thing. They've gone through their own issues with it recently. Man, we had Gamergate stuff that happened a few years back. That's, there's this cultural thing in gaming, unfortunately, at times that gets into not kind of borderline awful stuff, but legit awful stuff, any kind of sexual harassment in a workplace, doesn't matter what your workplace is. That's awful. That shouldn't happen. That's illegal. There's lots and lots of issues there. So all that said, the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing filed this suit. Activision responded. The kind of higher ups, the execs at Activision Blizzard responded. Lots of employees were pretty unhappy about their initial response. They staged a walkout last week. And so I think it was Wednesday last week. They had a walkout. Lots of gamers just in the community boycotted Blizzard games, Activision Blizzard games during that. Bobby Kotick has now written a letter, which you can go by the show notes and see that if you want, kind of in response to the response of the response, if that makes sense. Trying to clean stuff up. It's still, you know, it's very corporate speak and you know, saying all the right things and whether or not there's any serious changes that come from it is yet to be seen. Obviously, it's not something that happens overnight. All that to say, here we are again with a well-known game publisher dealing with serious and corroborated accusations of sexual harassment and gender discrimination, and that sucks. And I don't know what else to say about it other than that sucks.
I gotta be honest, other than I've been so busy and you've been the same way that I had not kept up with this, and I just sort of skimmed it in the show notes this morning before we fired everything up. And that's really all I want to do, because I don't want to hear this. This is not something that we should hear at this point. You have a daughter, I have nieces, and sexual harassment obviously goes both ways. I'm not saying that. That's a thing that can happen. But this is something that I... and I know you take very seriously because of your daughter and your wife, and I have two nieces, and I think back to the days when we were younger, maybe before we were hanging out, some of the things that I said and did in my much younger days when I was stupid, and I look at that and I'm like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
It's something that frustrates me, because people that are in these positions, on their way to getting to the positions that they're in, should know what the rules are and how to treat your employees. I think everybody makes mistakes, but when you get to a certain point on a corporate ladder or whatever, I think you should know how to treat your employees.
Yes.
and granted, I'm a guy in a wheelchair that has never had a corporate job in my life, so I'm talking in my butt. But I think it's fairly common sense.
Yes, 100%. And you mentioned you have nieces. I have a daughter. You know, I have a wife. Anybody, you know, talk to my wife or my daughter in the ways that are detailed in this allegation, or do some of the other things female employees were subject to. Just, yeah, again, terrible stuff. There's details. I'm not going to go into the details here. But really, really pretty awful stuff. I would punch them in the face. You know, like, it's just like I just am sickened by it. But it shouldn't take me having a daughter, me having a wife, or whatever, you know, like Bobby Kotick having a wife or whatever, you know, like, there's also just a sense of human decency here that should be overriding to these things. And it's this cultural thing that I feel like exists. It's even hard for me to say feels like exists in gaming. It obviously exists in gaming. Go on, you know, go look up people talking about The Last of Us 2 and the comments about the character model of Abby, and just the craziness of dudes on the internet thinking they know whatever about what women's bodies should be or anything like that. Like,
but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah. What I was going to say was that this is a completely different step. Like, idiots on the internet's one thing, but when you get to a point where this is your job and you're in charge of a company, you have an entire step up in liability.
Yes.
From idiots on the internet.
For sure. But this is where I'm going with the idiots on the internet thing. The truth is that a lot of the kind of rake and file employees at these companies are those idiots on the internet, right? Or at least have come out of that kind of culture. Not everybody. I want to be really careful here. about how disparaging I am, because I want to be incredibly disparaging to the idiots without being disparaging to the whole gaming community, because I think there's a ton of us out there like you and I that aren't those idiots on the internet that think they're idiots. But the thing is that there's obviously a streak in the gaming community that is those people, this kind of, I don't even know how you want to describe it. Toxic masculinity isn't necessarily the word I'm looking for, but that's kind of the realm that we're dealing with here. And the truth is that those people exist in gaming. The gaming culture has attracted those people or helped breed those views in people for whatever reason. And we could dissect that a ton a whole nother time, but it obviously exists. And those people get jobs in gaming. Some of those people care enough about gaming that they want to be game developers or they want to work in the game industry. And then they go into corporate workplaces and bring this gender bias with them. They bring their terrible sexual harassing mindsets with them. And it breeds then at some place like Activision Blizzard, this culture, or Ubisoft. Again, Ubisoft got sued in France for basically the same thing, and Ubisoft's been dealing with this for a long time. Yves Guillermo is putting out similar statements to what Bobby Kotick is. Very, very similar things going on across the game industry. And that's, again, not exclusive to the game industry. I'm not going to sit here and say that other industries don't deal with it. I'm in the music industry. God knows the music industry has dealt with all this stuff a ton and continues to deal with this stuff as well. There's a lot of issues with this across the board. But there is something specific to the game world that has resulted in a certain type of harassment towards women that's really, really ugly and disappointing. And when you see it on a corporate level, where somebody should be smart enough to shut this down, if that's Bobby Kotick, if that's Yves Guillermo, whoever at these companies, or the next level down below that, I don't know. But at some point, you got to tell your stupid dude employees to stop being stupid dudes, to stop doing these things that are you know, driving women out of this industry that are it just, yeah, it's really, really awful.
Okay, so we got a ton of stuff to talk about. I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but I think it has a lot to do with there's not a lot of women that play games, and every dude out there that plays games is looking for a girl that plays games, and they just don't exist. And so when you find one, you tend to be over. I've done it. When you find one, you tend to be over aggressive, and lots of stuff goes on there. And I'm not making excuses. My point is that this is the reason that there aren't more women in gaming, more women that play games, more women that enjoy this as a pastime, because like, every dude out there is trying to find a hot gamer girl, and we're just stupid. And I remember playing, and I'm sure you could tell a story about this. I remember playing World of Warcraft, and if you're in World of Warcraft and you come across a woman that is playing World of Warcraft, all of the guys, whether it's factual that that's a woman or not, if you think, all of the guys in your guild start going nuts. And so you're right. It's from the bottom up. And it's not good. And one thing that I'm still proud of to this day about the show is a review that we got from Merle Lafferty way back in the day that essentially said these guys are inclusive. Like, there's a lot of shows out there that breed this and these guys don't. Yeah. And I'm still proud of that.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure. I would love to consider us not those idiots on the internet. We're idiots on the internet for lots of other reasons. Let's be clear.
Yes.
But we're not idiots in that way. That's one point that you made, though, that I do want to just hit on really quick is this idea that the scarcity of women in gaming. I think that used to be a lot more true than it is now, and it's this kind of dated idea that still permeates gaming that has resulted, I think, in a lot of the conflict here. Because honestly, if there weren't women working at Activision Blizzard because there was no desire of women to be in the game industry, this isn't going to be as much of an issue because there's nobody in the workplace for these idiots to discriminate against. That doesn't excuse, obviously, the idiot's behavior. But the fact that women have become much, much, much more part of the gaming community than when we were younger, and especially the kind of what we call core gamer community and that kind of stuff at this point, has opened the door for the kind of toxic side of the kind of male mindset in gaming to intersect with women working in this field, playing games, being into it, being attractive women that they can't get.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, like that's part of it, right? An attractive woman that is in the game industry, be it a developer or a journalist or whatever, deals with a crazy level of harassment. Just go follow some of them online, like on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I just feel so bad for Morgan, them all the time.
Morgan, what is her last name? G4. Morgan.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Morgan's one of those. You go follow her. It's insane the crap that she's in. And she's been in this since she was, a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like 18, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I can't remember her last name.
yeah. I know.
I really should not mention somebody on the air when I can't remember their last name.
But the point is that there's women that love video games and care about video games and are part of this community that deal with stuff that we don't ever deal with. Nobody is ever coming after. People have called us names or whatever from time to time. And that's fine. But we don't deal with the level of harassment that these women in the industry do. And thank goodness. But like nobody should be dealing with that. Like the community as a whole has just failed those people. And part of it is this weird kind of incel culture, not getting again into lots of other areas of other issues. But there is this undercurrent in some of the gaming community, and those people tend to often be vocal and nasty. And again, sometimes get jobs and bring that with them to the workplace. And it's women that have to deal with it. Again, we haven't had to deal with it. We haven't.
Can we talk real quick? You're right. We haven't had to deal with it on a large scale, but can we talk real quick? I've been thinking a lot about yours and my friendship and why it ended up being the way that it is. And I've been thinking about this for a month, just about the fact that you're the only dude that I know that encourages me to be me, knowing about all the stuff that comes with me and all the flaws and all the crap. And you've seen, let's be honest, you've seen some people treat me like crap. Whether I let it bother me or not, you've seen it happen, and you've always been that dude that's like, you are what you are, and I'm big and I'm loud and all of that. Mostly, I think, because you've been one of the few that encouraged it over the last 16 years. And as big as my head was when we started, I think it's only gotten bigger. It's not the same thing as this. This is a whole other deal, but let's be honest, there's people out there that don't take me seriously.
Sure.
And it's something that I have to deal with on a daily basis. I remember we had a running joke for a long time on this show where we had to stop and tell people, no, I'm not drunk.
Right.
Because I'm not. Like, I'm not.
Most of the time.
Yeah, you're right. But it's something that I deal with in a completely different area. I don't talk about it because I don't think it's that big a deal. And for those of you that wonder why all these people are getting bent out of shape, I'm going to tell you from a personal perspective, from a different area of it, then it sucks. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's not fun for me. It's not fun for you when we're out in public and we see stuff.
Sure.
You said something to me one day that I will never forget. We were in a restaurant and I was telling you about a comment that somebody in my family had made about that I need to be careful about how I purport myself when I'm in public and, you know, what I eat, and I need to try and not make a mess. And you made a comment one day, we're walking into a restaurant, and I said that to you, and you're like, dude, all these people have made up their minds about you before you even get in the door. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And like, that has stuck with me my whole life. Because the other side of my family is you gotta be careful. And this, it doesn't matter where it comes from, this stuff sucks.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why people get bent out of shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to kind of put a bow on this and get on to more fun things to talk about, if you're a part of this community and if you're listening to the show, you're a part of this community, don't suck. Like, just don't go do that stuff. Like, it's not your right to comment on a woman's body because she's part of the gaming industry or whatever else. Like, so first of all, just that period. But while this is heartbreaking to me, Blizzard is a company that you and I really used to love. Our affinity towards Blizzard has waned in the past several years since they become part of Activision and lots of other things. But for me personally, there's something that just makes me really sad about this because it is a company that I have such fond memories of and playing their games and that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that this stuff is coming to light because it exists. Like, I would much rather it not come to light because it didn't exist. But if it exists, I want it to come to light. I don't want this to be an ugly secret in the gaming industry. I want it to be an ugly thing that everybody knows in the gaming industry, right? If it exists, let's get it out there. Let's make sure that these details are in public because public pressure is what's going to make people change. People are pissed at Activision Blizzard this week. Again, people didn't play their games. Now, some people don't see the big deal either, and those people are not going to be helpful in the solution. But a lot of people do, and that is going to put pressure on them to change unlike anything else could. If your consumer base gets pissed at you, this is capitalism, that's what's going to change your mind. And so if these things exist, if these discriminatory practices exist, the sexual harassment exists, which it obviously does, let's get it out there. Let's make sure people know about it so people can then start making some decisions based off of that that will hopefully change that culture.
And again, if you're somebody that doesn't understand this, doesn't get this, email me. I will explain to you from my perspective some of the crap that I deal with on a regular basis, because I do. Like, and we don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it because Jamie Jordan doesn't have issues, but it's out there and it does exist. And granted, it's from a different perspective, but still the same type of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're one of those people that doesn't get it, email me and I'd be glad to talk to you.
There you go. That said, let's talk about something more fun. Let's talk about the Steam Deck. Because again, that broke. The news of the Steam Deck broke before we even got the last show posted, but after we'd recorded it. So this is old news we know at this point, but we haven't talked about it together yet. So this is our chance to talk about it together. By the way, there is Patreon content about the Steam Deck that Jamie put together. So go by Patreon to see that. But we do need to talk about the Steam Deck. So really briefly here, because everybody already knows this, but the Steam Deck is Valve's Switch, essentially. It's their portable PC that is dockable, that you can play as a handheld or dock as a really full function kind of mini PC, which is pretty cool. Going to run off of Steam OS, but has other, it's Steam and so, or Valve, so you're going to have lots of flexibility with it. Starting price is $400. There's a handful of different models with different internal memory and that kind of stuff. So the 401 is 64 gigs. The 529 is 256 gigs, which is also faster, which seems important here. And then there's a 512 version that is $649, 512 gigabyte version that's $649. Anyway, so go look at it because it's hard to describe what it looks like, but go see it. It's a portable PC that you can play games on, which is honestly kind of cool.
Now, here goes the discussion part of this, because I'll tell you at the very beginning, I don't care about the portability aspect of it. The reason that I want one is for the dock. And because it's a fully functioning small PC that you can stick in your backpack. And it's got, you get this dock and it's got all the plugs you need to plug in a mouse and keyboard and a camera and like whatever you want to do. It's got all that. And so I'm super excited about the dock aspect of it. I know you're super excited about the portability because of the way your life is set up. So I'm curious to know what you have to say about portability. Before you tell us, I will tell you that I got a note from Duff that he has purchased one of these. And we know how this works. Duff buys stuff and he has it for about 2 weeks and goes, you guys got to have one of these. So either it's going to end up on our doorsteps or we're going to purchase one because this is a really interesting piece of tech.
Yeah, for sure. It is a very, very interesting piece of tech. Now, there is the ability to expand storage with as well, which is a big thing to what I'm about to say. There's things I'm excited about and there's things I'm not quite as sold on it. Valve says that it can run any game right now that's on Steam. Which, okay, it's not going to run it great, right? Like, there's just games right. that it's not going to be able to do an excellent job at because it's a handheld. But it's, by all means, like, you can put it, squeeze a lot into a handheld at this point. The Switch has proven that this is going to be way more powerful than a Switch. And so, yes, you should be able to do a lot of stuff with it. Ergonomically, I really want to get my hands on it because watching people play it in their kind of promo videos so far looks awkward. It just, I don't know how to explain why it looks awkward, but just something about it doesn't look like the thumbsticks don't look like they're in the right place relative to the buttons. It does utilize the little touch pads. And so remember the Steam controller back in the day had those weird little pads. This has little pads, but they're not the kind of inverted dome kind of things that it was on the Steam controller, but there is the kind of touch sensitive things right below the joysticks, which is interesting. It's also touch sensitive pads on the back. So there's like an R4 and R5, L4 and L5 button on the back, which is nuts. So you've got as many kind of input things as you could imagine as a controller could give you. And so being that it's a PC and you're going to play PC games on it, and PC, we often think about mouse and keyboard being the primary way that you play those games and controllers being kind of a secondary thing. The fact that they've tried to put as much kind of button options on it as possible is really nice. So you can set up macros for different games and make something that typically doesn't work as well with a controller, real-time strategy or something like that, maybe work a little bit better because you have all these extra input options, which is cool. To me, the docking thing is fine. I have a PC. And so, you know, that to me is a little less interesting other than the fact that you can take it around with you. That is just a mini PC. And so maybe that's cool. If you don't have a PC, like, it's a cool PC, right? Like, it's a cool way to get a gaming PC at a pretty budget conscious price. Yeah. The price to me though, the $400 model, can we agree that that's sucks? Yeah, like 64 gigs of internal memory for a PC handheld, like, it's not going to get you far.
No, I'm not paying $400, and I will tell you that Duff did not pay $400. He would have stepped up as you would assume. Oh, yeah. And so I feel like if you're going to get this, you have the base model does not get it.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, practically speaking, like, they made the base model so they could say that they have a $400 handheld. But don't spend $400 on this thing. If you want one, you got to step up.
Yeah. And the other thing that is interesting is if you dock it, because the native resolution is 720p, so if you dock it and try to play it at 1080, which I'm learning a lot about resolutions in the last couple of weeks, trying to make this camera look better. Now, I'm interested when we put up the show how much better my camera looks. I will tell you, this is not running at full 1080p resolution. That was part of the problem that we've been having with Zencastr, is that Chrome was trying to do some things with resolutions that it wasn't smart enough to do. So my point is if you dock this thing and start playing games on it on a 24-inch monitor or whatever, and you crank it up to 1080p, how much of a hit on performance are you going to get there? Yeah. One of the things that they show in the video is somebody playing Control on it. So if you're going to play Control on it, you got to have ray tracing, right? So ray tracing at 720p, I don't know.
I can't imagine that. Again, if what you're looking for is high-end visual performance, like, this isn't going to get you that. It's going to look good. Like, games look good today. Stuff on the Switch looks good. But me playing a Switch game on my 1440p monitor, which I've been doing recently with Mario Golf, it takes a hit. You know, like, obviously it's lower resolution at playing Ratchet and Clank. You know, like, not just is it not as graphically impressive because it's less powerful, but lower resolution just looks worse at this point, even if it's a pretty game, which Mario Golf is a plenty pretty game. It's great looking. It's a Mario game. It's not, you know, super graphic intensive, but it looks good. But it just lower resolution on a high resolution monitor just looks worse, and it's just going to look worse. And so, yeah, it will work as a gaming PC that you can play on your monitor, but if you care about visual fidelity, you're going to want to get a PC with a high-end graphics card and a high resolution monitor and all that stuff anyway, and this isn't going to be that. To me, though, one of the things I'm really excited about it is that I think it's going to be a game changer for indie games. I love the idea of indie games on this thing. I don't necessarily want to play Control. I played Control on the Switch a little bit. It had the cloud version of Control you can play on the Switch. It was fine. I want that on a big, pretty screen. But there's lots of games I don't need a big, pretty screen for that are really, really fun that I thoroughly enjoy. And if I could take those with me and they be moddable, I mentioned I'm playing Stardew Valley right now, right? I went back to Stardew Valley on PC. I haven't played it on the PC for years, honestly. I've been playing it on my phone almost exclusively for the last several years. I transferred the save off my phone to my PC because I wanted to play it on PC with both the newest updates, which isn't on iOS yet, and because I wanted to play it with some mods. And so I was able to download some mods and play Stardew Valley with mods, and I love it. I'm having a great time playing Stardew Valley, but the one bummer of that is I can't do that on here anymore, right? I can't put my mods on my phone because it's not moddable there. Being able to play a game like Stardew Valley or lots of other really great indie games and that aren't available, honestly, just on any other platform that are just kind of those PC-centric indie games, and to have those games be moddable on this is, to me, what's really, really exciting. The fact that you get the benefit of an open-world PC that you can adjust and change things. You're going to be able to install different operating systems, all that kind of stuff, like all the stuff you expect from a PC on a portable gaming device is super cool. Like, that's what, to me, really sells it.
This is such a Valve product.
Yes.
It's such a Game Newell Valve product in the sense that here's this, they know everybody loved the Switch, and so now they're basically saying, okay, we're Valve, we're going to give you one that you can adjust and play with and If you want to dock it, you can dock it. If you want to mod some games, you can mod some games. And mods are a big deal, and they're going to continue to become a bigger deal. Like, I've been thinking about the process of maybe us upgrading PCs, because you've got a new screen and you've got some new stuff, and it's getting to be time for us to upgrade PCs. And you want to know the first thing that I think about when I think about upgrading a PC? It's not ray tracing. It's not any of that pretty stuff. It's not a 3080. It's, holy crap, can I move my Skyrim install and you know, keep the mods where they need to be? And same way with Mass Effect Andromeda and so many other games. Like, that literally is my first thought. Is, okay, if I'm going to get a new PC, can I move all this crap over here? And maybe people, and maybe you don't think that way, I don't know, but that's been my thought for a couple of weeks, is it's time for a new PC, and I'm not looking forward to that move.
Sure.
Because, you know, I know some people, and honestly, it's kind of the way to do it. I know some people that have an entire hard drive devoted to Skyrim just because they don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, mods are a huge deal. And I think you're right. It's going to play big into the Steam Deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. And I think that's going to be the fun of the whole thing, is that it is an open platform. It's the Switch, but an open platform that you can do a billion fun things with, which the Switch is great. I love the Switch to death, but it's obviously not an open platform. It's Nintendo, who is kind of notoriously the worst at any kind of open platform thing. And so having a handheld that you can go in and have a lot of fun with doing all the kind of putting emulators on, let's be honest, like that.
Yes, that's I was going to say, you mentioned the other storage and then didn't expand on it. This thing has SD storage. And so when you start looking at homebrew stuff,
yeah,
that you can run on this thing off of an SD card, you can run emulators, there's a ton of different things you can do with this.
Yeah, it's gonna be super fun. It's gonna be expensive if you don't get the crappy one. Don't spend $400 on it. $529 or $6 whatever is $650 is the way to go. Obviously you could expand the storage with an SD card, but 64 gigs of internal storage is just ridiculous. I know that's what the Switch is. Like, don't hear me wrong. That's ridiculous on the Switch too, but it's more ridiculous. And that's the new Switch. That's the old Switch is even worse. The Switch that I have is not even 64 gigs of internal storage. But the difference is that this is boasting of being able to play PC games. There's PC games that are over 64 gigs themselves. So obviously you're going to need that expanded storage.
Yep.
That said, while we're talking about expanded storage, just really quick, we've known for a long time, since the announcement of the PlayStation 5, that you were going to be able to have expanded storage on it through an M2 slot, but that it was going to take a very specific spec of M2 drive because of the performance requirements of the PlayStation 5. And one of the big selling factors of why it performs so well is its internal solid-state drive. The ability to expand with an M2 is finally here, at least kind of. It's in its beta phase. So for certain people, if you are part of this beta, you can now go buy an M2 drive. It has to be a specific spec'd M2 drive, not just any M2 drive. But there are a few on the market right now that will run you a couple $100 for a terabyte, which is ballpark about what the expanded storage on an Xbox Series X costs. And so you're looking at about the same. But you can expand your storage now officially on the PlayStation 5, and that will probably be out of beta before too terribly long. The nice thing about the PlayStation 5 version of expanded storage versus the Xbox version of expanded storage is that you can use you know, other products. You don't have to buy a Sony hard drive for this, whereas the Microsoft version is proprietary. So the Samsung 980 Pro, the Western Digital SN850 are both options that will work and have different sizes. And so you can get a 500 gig or you can get a terabyte one or whatever. Slide that into your PS5 and have more storage, which is a big deal because I've already ran out of room on my PlayStation 5. I've had to delete games off my PlayStation 5 already to make room for other games. And we don't play it that much, you know? Right. That's a testament to how quickly that relatively limited amount of space on your PlayStation 5 goes. And so being able to expand storage is a big deal.
It's a big deal, and I hope that it's easy, because regardless of what YouTube will tell you, if you want to swap out the hard drive on the PlayStation 4, that's not really that hard. The hard part is getting the OS installed and getting everything to work right. Like it gets a little flaky when you start trying to do stuff like that. I know, because I work with a computer repair shop, and people bring their PlayStations in and go, "Can you do this?" And we're like, "Yeah." I mean, if you really have to, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, if you're going to do it, and there's probably somebody that knows more than we know, but it takes a half a day to get the thing in and to get the PlayStation OS installed and all of that. If it's easier than that, that's all good. I hope it is. I hope they learn from their problems, because if you don't do the PlayStation 4 exactly right, it doesn't work. Like, there's no this. You gotta. It's gotta be exactly right, or it's not gonna boot.
Yeah.
So, I hope that, since this is going to be an option, I hope it's easy. You just plug it in and go.
Yeah, I do too. But I hope for everybody's sake that's the case, because we don't need it to be hard. One last Sony thing, no big surprise here, but this did come out this week, that Horizon Forbidden West has been delayed until next year. We knew, like, of course.
Yeah.
Nobody thought that game was coming out this year, guys.
Nope.
So,
And on that, real quick, I know we're running out of time, but I want to talk about, I just mentioned upgrading the PCs, and this is an interesting place to put this. It's funny to me that there's not a lot of games on the PC side. Like, we need to upgrade. It's time for you to build us new rigs. I almost said it's time for us to build the rigs, but let's be honest, you're going to be doing both of them. It's time for us to do that, but I'm not in a hurry, because there's still like three games on the PC that I really need an upgrade for. That's it. So I'm not in a huge hurry to upgrade. I don't feel bad about Horizon getting delayed, because that's one of those things that I want it done when it's done. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Do you feel the need to upgrade and or buy an Xbox? Because I would like an Xbox, because I have a controller to play with, but you can't find one.
Right.
So, which are you more compelled to do at this point? Because I'm ready for a PC upgrade, just because I'm a hardware whore, but I don't really have a reason at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, and specifically because of the ability to stream games, I'm not feeling that pressure like I have previously, right? The fact that I'm able to play Cyberpunk right now at its highest settings on my PC, which cannot run it at its highest settings because of GeForce Now, makes me not need to upgrade my PC, right? Like, I just, like, I, because I have a gigabit internet line and can support streaming, and there's good quality streaming services at this point, it is making me consider what the need is there. I would rather have an Xbox to have access to some games I don't currently have access to, although it's very few. Most of them are on PC. But if I had to choose one or the other, an upgraded PC or an Xbox, I'd probably choose an Xbox. With one caveat, there's one thing that still requires a lot of PC power that I really want to do more of, even though I don't do enough of it currently, and we can, and that's VR. That's the one place where you just still need that powerhouse rig. And our rigs are lagging now of what is needed to run current VR PC titles. Not, you know, we can do Oculus Quest stuff, standalone stuff, but doing Oculus Linked or getting into the higher end if you want to get into the Steam and whatever it's called, I always forget. Index, Steam Index,
right?
Or the high end Vive now, or whatever. You got to have that 30 series graphics card and you know i9 and whatever to make that practical. That's the one place where it's still tempting to me, but I don't do enough VR honestly right now for it to be a consideration.
What's funny to us, and I know you feel the same way, less so because you got a new laptop since I got one. But I've been looking around at of all the things, of all the crazy things that you could buy. I'm looking at a Mac Pro going, you know what? I use my Mac every day. I would love to have one of these.
Yeah.
Because other than gaming, and this is the honest truth, you and I do every stitch of other work on our Macs, and more and more, other than the money aspect of it, we'll probably never spend the money, but the Mac Pro is looking more and more enticing to me because I just do so much work on the Mac. And that's crazy to me because it used to be, man, I need a gaming rig, and we're going to upgrade sooner rather than later because that's what we do, but I don't have to have it. No. I don't remember feeling that way for a really long, I mean, it's been a long time since I felt that way.
And with the chip issues and the graphics card shortages right now, it's a good time not to feel that way because if you did want to upgrade, it's darn near impossible to do right now. I'm dealing with that on a whole different level of trying to get some graphics cards for work stuff. That's not gaming related. That's video production related, and you just can't do it.
Those graphics cards that are in those Macs are a whole other beast. I know because I was looking at them this week.
Yeah,
that they are even harder to come by in a lot of situations. Yep. And I will tell you, folks, we're always telling you if you want to help us out. If anybody out there has got $7,000 that they want to give us for a Mac Pro, we will buy one for production on this show. Yeah. Because I've been looking at them, and I got to be honest, I really, really, really want one.
Yeah, for sure.
You're still using iMacs at the studio, right, mostly?
Yep. We've got a 2018 iMac or whatever it is. That's our primary studio computer, which is great, but it's getting dated. The M1 chips are really exciting. I need a couple of years or another year probably before I can make that leap, but I'm about to probably buy some Mac minis that are M1 chips. I'm pretty excited about that to see how they go, to get to play around with those.
I can't believe we're talking about buying Macs before we talk about buying PC hardware, but we are, and that's the way it is. And now I have a little girl in my video, which I'm really excited about. How are you, my dear? Good.
You did just walk in here. I didn't even know you were coming. You just walked right in.
She just sort of appeared. That's what she does.
On your face.
Hopped on my face.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I missed you so much.
Is that funny?
So much I missed you.
I bet that is your mama. Yes. Yeah. Trying to figure out where you went.
Yeah. I can go see. Here we go. You're so cute.
I didn't sleep.
Oh, really?
No.
I'm shocked.
You didn't sleep?
I don't get a Rice Krispie. I don't get a s'more.
Oh. Because that was the deal? Mm-hmm. If you slept, you got a s'more? Man, I want to take a nap and get a s'more.
Do we have issues napping? Is that the thing? We don't like to nap?
It's been a little bit of a struggle recently. We need to get out of the house some more, don't we?
It's super funny!
In her defense, she's never liked to nap.
I love it. It's only my favorite.
Even when she was really young, I remember her daddy had a hard time getting her to sleep.
You're my favorite, and you're my sunny daddy toe.
You are so cute!
I think we're officially off the rails now.
Do you remember how to end the show?
Yes.
Are you ready to end the show?
Yes.
You ready?
What do you say?
Say, this is Gaming Uncensored. And we're out.
This is Gaming, we're out.
Good job.
That'll work. I'll take it.
You're super funny.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.